Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Judge Delbert Wong on April 8, 1983. This is tape 4, interview conducted by Sue Ellen Chan. So would you like to talk a little bit about your opinion on today's Chinese lawyers or Chinese young people's future in the law field?
All right. I really don't remember what I said, what we covered 10 days ago or so, so there may be some duplication.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I think that the opportunities for Chinese in the law today are excellent. Mm-hmm. I think the advancement of women and minorities the last 10 years in the legal field has been very dramatic. Mm-hmm. We have today a good number of minority women, including Asians, in high positions. Mm-hmm. For example, among the women on the bench, mm-hmm. we have in San Francisco, Judge Lillian Singh, mm-hmm. in Orange County, Judge Barbara Tam, mm-hmm. in San Diego County, Judge Patricia Cowart. Mm-hmm. I don't think that 10 or 15 years ago we would have dreamed that there would be Asian women judges in 1982 and 83. Mm-hmm. Now also, I think an illustration of how far we've gone was the appointment of Franklin Tom, mm-hmm. to be corporation commissioners. This just happened in the last few weeks. A very good appointment. I don't think anyone would question the ability of Franklin Tom. He's a good lawyer, and I'm glad that he has this recognition. Mm-hmm. We've had a good number of Chinese judges now. Judge Harry Lowe of San Francisco has been appointed the presiding justice of one of the divisions of the Court of Appeal, mm-hmm. and he is the highest ranking Chinese judge now. Mm-hmm. Another judge on the Court of Appeal is Judge Elwood Louis, mm-hmm. who is now a justice of the Court of Appeal. Mm-hmm. On the Los Angeles Superior Court, we have Judge Jack Soh and Judge Harry Mock. Of course, on the municipal court, we have a good number of judges, including Judge James Yip, mm-hmm. Judge Ronald Liu, and in San Francisco, we have we've had judges of Chinese descent. In Stockton, we have Judge Kim, Frank Kim. Now the Chinese have also been very active in private practice. For example, there's a Thomas Liu, who's the head of a law firm, does a good deal of tax work. We have prosecutors and public defenders who are Chinese. So I think the field has really shifted dramatically.
When you said that people were pretty surprised or wouldn't have a dream of it, Chinese American women to become the judge at the time when they were appointed. How about the reaction of your colleagues, non-Chinese colleagues or non-Asian colleagues, when they heard about the appointment of any minority women or minority judge was appointed.
Mm-hmm. Well, generally speaking, when I think these appointments have been greeted with enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say, one of the reasons I say that we couldn't dream that 10 or 15 years ago there'd be a woman judge so soon, mm-hmm. is because 10 or 15 years ago there weren't any women lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the first ingredient would be to become a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And before becoming a judge. For example, it takes 10 years experience as a lawyer to be eligible to become a Superior Court judge, and it takes 5 years experience as a lawyer to become eligible to be a Municipal Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lag in time there.
Right.
Furthermore, in order to become a lawyer, one must go to law school.
Right.
So that's another 3-4 years lag.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we roll the clock back, say 10 years for a Superior Court appointment, another 3 years, we're talking about turning the clock back 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there were very few Asian women
mm-hmm.
in law school 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why the rise of Asian women in the law has been so dramatic,
mm-hmm.
because many of the judges who were appointed had served the minimum time for the elevation, so they've advanced almost as rapidly as time permitted, let's say. So we go back 15 years and we ask ourselves, why weren't there any Asian women or so few Asian women in law schools? And that was because 15 years ago, no one really felt that the opportunities were there in the law for Asian women, and very few entered law school or even attempted to enter law school. And those who attempted to enter law school may have met with resistance
mm-hmm.
in the administrations in admissions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the progress of Asian women in the law has been dramatic,
mm-hmm.
it has been heartwarming,
mm-hmm.
and I think we're all very pleased.
Oh, good. Emma Lum was probably one of the first women lawyers.
That's true. She was really a pioneer in the field. I don't remember now when Emma Ping Lum was admitted to the practice of law,
mm-hmm.
but I would say that it had to be in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a woman who's practiced law in for 40 years now.
Even with her practicing laws, that's still not good enough to encourage the younger women at that time to enter.
No, because I think. People recognize that she was the exception.
Mm.
They recognize that she had a unique position in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she practiced in an area where, because of her ability to speak Chinese,
mm-hmm.
Enabled her to make a good livelihood and make some progress where she was.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that because her practice was in Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
and I suppose she must have met some very difficult obstacles, which,
mm-hmm.
And I'm frankly, as I sit here now, I don't know why that her example didn't encourage more women
mm-hmm.
to go into the law.
What I was going to ask. I was thinking about that there, in terms of practicing law,
mm-hmm.
did you see the differences between female lawyer and male lawyers, or the judges, male judges and the female judges? Or you think that the women perform just as well, or they perform differently in terms of the styles or whatever?
Well, I think that based on my own experience,
mm-hmm.
There was a good deal of resistance to women entering law school back in the 40s, say. There were very few women in law school classes. I believe in our class of 50,
mm-hmm.
I think we only had 3 or 4
mm-hmm.
or 5 at most. So we're talking about 10%,
right.
10% of the class. And that may even be high. Mm-hmm. That may even be high, because I think when we look at some of the large law school classes at Bolt Hall or at Stanford, when they had 200 and 300 students, we certainly didn't have 20 and 30 women lawyers,
no. Uh-huh.
law students. I mean, uh-huh. It had to be less than 10%. I don't know the figures, but uh-huh. it was very low.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunities for women to go into the law, was very limited, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The most women went into research jobs or office practice.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many of them were in the courtrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Los Angeles, say in the 40s, we had a few
mm-hmm.
very active women trial lawyers,
mm-hmm.
but they were few.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can almost name the few very active ones. And I don't think there were any minorities. The minority women, say, in active practice. By that I mean in trial practice.
Uh-huh.
In the 40s.
I
think in the 50s things changed dramatically, in the 60s even more dramatically. But I think in the 40s, I can only think of Gladys Taube Root, who was a very successful criminal lawyer, and there were one or two others, but they were strictly the minority.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But in the court, would they still get some sort of resistance from, say, opposite side of the lawyers and the type of situation? Have you witnessed some sort of a situation like that, you know, in terms of language, in terms of performance?
Well, I think that the women lawyers had a difficult time from the day they entered law school.
Mm-hmm.
I think many times people have said that we had law professors who would actually harass some of the women lawyers, mm-hmm. but law students.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if there was a very lurid sex case
mm-hmm.
being discussed,
mm-hmm.
some of the professors would turn to the women law students and ask them to recite on the case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was discrimination against women in the admission policies of many of the law schools.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the admission officers were trying to be very paternalistic. They may have well been thinking that they were protecting
uh-huh.
the law students from wasting their time
uh-huh.
and going into a career that was not open to them. And, but nevertheless, there was discrimination, and there was many roadblocks
mm-hmm.
thrown in the way of women lawyers in general,
mm-hmm.
and these roadblocks would even be more devastating for Asian women
mm-hmm.
trying to get into the law.
Mm-hmm. But once they got there, became a lawyer in the court, still they have to...
There was very limited employment opportunities, and I'm saying this is true for all minority lawyers, not just women. I mean, the women lawyers had even more difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, for example, a Chinese lawyer, I just like to see the pictures of a Chinese lawyer in the court. If they, once they got there, they were hired, you know, by someone to represent them in the court. Would they still have difficult time even right in the court? Dealing with the other side as a Chinese lawyer?
Well, that, I think, depends upon the individual Chinese lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once the Chinese became a lawyer, of course, once he overcame the problems, first of getting clients, or secondly, getting employment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the early days, the large law firms were not considering the appointment of minorities.
Okay. What do you think about the Chinese lawyers involving the politics? You know, what's their attitude toward getting into the political arena? For example, like Franklin Tom,
was appointed right now, and what is I know that he accepted. Apparently, he would like to sort of get into some sort of a governmental decisions or help to make the decision. How about a general attitude toward Chinese lawyers toward, you know, getting involved in the political issues, political activities?
Well, if you're speaking of the situation today,
mm-hmm.
I would say that the Chinese lawyer is much more willing to go into politics,
mm-hmm.
willing to participate in bar association activities, more willing to engage in the political arena.
How about in the early days, say back to this 50s, there were so few anyway, and then in the 60s and so forth. Was there a little bit of reluctance, or is just they just didn't have enough chance to think about even?
Well, I think the opportunities for Asians in the politics, say 40 years ago, was not very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think what has been helpful to the Chinese lawyer or the Chinese person who wanted to go into politics is some of the successes that started out in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think the very fact that Senator Hiram Fong
mm-hmm.
became a member of the U.S. Senate
mm-hmm.
encouraged others to participate.
Mm-hmm.
I think the earliest victories in California were in the smaller communities
mm-hmm.
where Chinese were successful in getting into public office. I'm talking about local city councils,
mm-hmm.
boards of supervisors,
mm-hmm.
even mayors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the early days, we had a mayor, Suhu in Oxnard.
Mm.
We've had
what's this? His name?
Suhu, and I think it's William Suhu.
Oh, okay.
Then Raymond Ng
mm-hmm.
has been on the city council in Oakland for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
so he was one of the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
March Fong Yu
mm-hmm.
got her start on the school board in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
She first was elected to the school board,
mm-hmm.
and from there to the state assembly,
mm-hmm.
and from there to the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunities have always been better at the local level.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, March Fong Yu is our outstanding example of a successful person in politics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is in American political arena more tends to be more lawyers, the person who studied law, got into politics, for example, congressmen, senators, their background. Most of them have the law background. And seems like most of the lawyers tend to have the interest in politics. And how does that apply to Chinese? I think I'm a little bit generalized that, but it seems to me like probably the Chinese lawyer have more of that kind of influence from their colleagues.
Well, I'm trying to visualize the percentages, and it's very difficult for me to do so.
Uh-huh.
I know we have many, many lawyers
mm-hmm.
in general
mm-hmm.
in politics.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we look at political offices, we can say that in the state legislature and the Congress, a large percentage of the people in those bodies are lawyers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More lawyers, say, than proportionally than there are in the general population.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think of many lawyers who've gone actively into politics, mm-hmm. and there really aren't that many mm-hmm. among
you
the Chinese.
Chinese,
yes. I think most of the Chinese who've gone into politics have not been lawyers,
mm-hmm.
aside from, of course, Sun Tam Fong
mm-hmm.
is a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking of most of the people who ran for city council, for example, many, many years ago,
mm-hmm.
Carl Jung was on the city council in the city of, I believe it was either Vaisei or Tulare, one of the smaller
mm-hmm.
cities in the Central Valley, and he was on the city council 40 years ago.
Uh-huh, I see. So for, in terms of leadership in the community, the lawyer, Chinese lawyer, tend to have more opportunities, or they have the respect from the community. For example, like Y.C. Hong,
mm-hmm.
and probably some others in
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, Chinatown. Is that very typical among the Chinese community?
Yes, I think Chinese lawyers have had a big impact upon the Chinese communities.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there were so few Chinese lawyers
mm-hmm.
That I think most of them were more interested in the practice of law
mm-hmm.
or in their whatever business they selected, rather than to go into politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's... it may have been that the opportunities were not there.
Mm-hmm, I see. So the extent they would get involved is more or less to the community's benefits. For example, fighting for the immigration law, against the Chinese.
That's
right.
That's
probably the extent.
That's right. I think the contributions of Chinese lawyers in the earlier days was to assist the communities in legislative programs, perhaps. And also assist possibly in electing officials,
mm-hmm.
but not in the participation themselves as candidates, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it may well be that the opportunities appeared to be unfavorable to them,
mm-hmm.
or it may have been that they were more dedicated to doing things, other things that seemed more productive at the time.
Mm-hmm. I guess we switch back to your own personal experiences. Other than being the judge of the Superior Court, what's the other experiences you have in the Superior Court? You were Justice Pro Tem of the Court of Appeal and all that. Can you I sort of got this from somewhere. Yeah. Explain a little bit of those positions and how you got there.
Well, over the years, I served in many assignments. As all the judges, I think most judges go from one assignment to another to broaden their general experience.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in the criminal courts for approximately 5 years.
Uh-huh.
This is both on the municipal and superior court.
Uh-huh.
And I spent 5 years on the appellate department of the Superior Court
uh-huh.
with responsibility of supervising the work of the 134 municipal court judges.
Uh-huh.
Our appellate department handled appeals and writs from all the municipal courts in the county.
Uh-huh.
And at the time I was on the appellate department, there were 134 municipal court judges in Los Angeles County. Now, aside from those two assignments, the other 13 years I spent in the trial departments
uh-huh.
In civil litigation. That included not only business law and personal injury and malpractice cases, but also a certain amount of divorce or family law
mm-hmm.
cases,
mm-hmm.
Probate, and what we call the law department. This would be
mm-hmm.
law in motion and writs and receivers and things like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you are the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court. Was that the title, appointment of the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court?
You mean the appellate department assignment?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Chief Justice appoints the judges to sit on the appellate department.
Mm-hmm.
And these appointments are made annually.
Uh-huh.
Each year the Chief Justice will decide which judges will sit on the appellate department in the 58 counties.
Oh, I see.
And so usually panels of three are selected in each county.
Oh, I see. How long were you the Chief Justice?
Oh, no, I was not. We were appointed by the Chief Justice.
Oh, you were appointed by the Chief Justice.
Yeah, we were appointed by the Chief Justice to serve on the appellate department.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Got it. Okay. And talking about being a judge in this, first Chinese-American judge in this community, did you get a lot of requests for advices and laws or others?
Well, actually, as a judge, we were somewhat limited as to what advice we could give. First, it is the lawyers who give advice to the clients.
Mm-hmm.
Judges do not practice law, so we're not able to give legal advice
mm-hmm.
to the public or to particular individuals.
Uh-huh.
So that's the job of a lawyer. However, as a judge, we can sometimes serve on committees.
Mm-hmm.
Within limits. Of course, I think that it's entirely possible for judges to serve on activities for the betterment of the public.
Mm-hmm.
But the judicial canons prohibit judges from soliciting funds, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge cannot directly or indirectly have his name linked to any fundraising activity.
Uh-huh. Have you sat in many committees in the community? Or
yes, I served on committees in the community, on many of them, so long as they did not deal with fundraising.
Uh-huh.
Then sometimes we are limited in political activities. I mean, that's another, judges do not actively engage in politics.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's perfectly proper for judges to serve on charitable events like community chess,
mm-hmm.
Boy Scouts,
mm-hmm.
Service clubs, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I see. So in terms of political, a judge can have his own opinion but not express his opinion in public, or it is all right that he or she expresses?
No, I don't think it is proper for judges to express their opinion in public on pending political issues. For one thing, the judge may be called upon to judge the validity of laws. And I think if a judge actively supports a certain piece of litigation,
mm-hmm.
it would be very difficult for him to impartially serve on a case involving that litigation.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that is why the canons of judicial ethics limits the judge's activities.
Uh-huh. I see. So in terms of the professional organization.
Oh, that's a little different. It's proper for the judge's association
mm-hmm.
to endorse or oppose certain legislation. But even that is limited. I think the judge's association is quite careful in advancing or opposing a particular piece of legislation where they feel that their opposition may not be in good taste, may not be legal, or may not be wise. For example, I think the judges certainly have taken positions on legislation which would improve the operation of the courts, for example.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think the Judges Association would either oppose or advance such issues as the death penalty.
Uh-huh. I see.